Hi.
Hi, Dina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank God, hanging in there.
Good.
What's going on?
Just plugging
Yeah.
away here,
Yeah,
like everyone
cool,
else.
right?
How are you? How's everybody in your family?
We're great. Thank
Good.
God. We're thank God. Holy
Good.
yeah, are you, I assume you're working from home, right?
I am working from home. I'm on the Upper West Side and hoping to. It'll be 14 days this weekend since I've like been out and about. So hoping this weekend or early next week to head to my parents for an early Pesach
Very
vacation.
nice. Where do they
Yeah,
live?
they're in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Yeah.
And that's your last name, Burkat?
Yep.
Very nice. I'm friend. You know, my rabbinic intern is your rabbi,
Oh, really?
Alicia Friedman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my intern in my shul.
Oh, that's so
That's
funny.
where he trained, was by me.
That's so funny.
Oh, he's a gem. He's a sweet boy, and his wife is lovely.
Yummy, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very I hope
Evening.
yeah, I hope he's doing well.
He is. He's actually, they're moving our shul. They're selling our building of 75 years and downsizing a little bit because we have one of those massive cavernous buildings that just
Yeah.
we can't seem to fill. So,
They've been talking about that for so many years. Not him, but your shul, I remember.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. How is the volume here? Is it coming through clear? Is it
I
shaky?
can hear you perfectly. And my camera's off only because nobody needs to be looking at me during the session.
Got it.
And I have it set up so that when people log in like 10 or so minutes, everybody's going to be muted and everybody is going to have their cameras off. So, like I said, I'll share the materials in the chat feature. And if you could just, reiterate a couple of times that people should click on those links to look at what you're looking at, that would be great.
Okay.
And we'll encourage people to ask questions like in the chat function or in the Q&A function. And then what we've been doing is going the full like 30, 35 minutes with the presenter just doing their presentation. And then for the last like 10 minutes, I can help either moderate or if you want to just, start looking at some of the questions that are coming in, we'll do questions at the end.
Okay. Now, if I have, thank you. If I have my text in front of me, so I'm really not looking at anything. I'm looking at my text. I'm not looking at, but you all see me regardless. Like right now, I'm looking at the text.
Yep.
Yeah. So, okay. But I could switch back and forth to see people if they come on, and
Yeah.
I have hand copies in front of me also. So.
Okay, great. So I think we're in good shape. I'm just going to mute myself for the next couple of minutes because I'm going to keep doing a couple of things here on my computer.
Sure.
I'm going to trim this all out though, like these first 15 minutes, I'll trim from the actual recording. So you can like don't feel like this is going to be published anywhere like these couple of minutes.
Right. And you don't see these papers in front of me, right?
Nope, I don't see anything.
Okay.
Just you.
Okay, great. All right,
All
thanks.
right, so I'm going to mute. If you need anything, just holler and I'm around.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Rabbi Shlush, I've put the links to both of your source sheets in the chat, so they're there if you want to keep referencing them, and we can get started anytime you are ready.
Excellent. Thank you, Dina, so much. I appreciate it. So really a pleasure and honor to be with you today. I hope everyone's doing well, and just begin by wishing everyone blessings for safety and for good health for you and your families. I want to thank Yeshiva University for inviting me to share some insights into Tehillim with you. And I'll just say for the past 16 years, I've had the honor to teach at Stern College. I teach several courses. One of them is in Sefer Tehillim. I'm also the director of the Rabbinic Internship Training Program at REITS, the rabbinical school. So I recently said to my wife, you know, we're just so blessed to be a part of the YU community. With everything going on in the world right now, there are professionals that are here for us. They're guiding us. They're supporting us. We have Rabbanim that are inspiring us. And a very special thank you to Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, who's really been exceptional in sending regular updates, keeping us informed, keeping us calm and reassured. And it's really a bracha to have Yeshiva University in our lives. And it's something I think we all never should take for granted. Now, before I get into a discussion of Tehillim, I think it's meaningful maybe to ask ourselves the question, if each of us asks ourselves this question, how do I respond to a difficult situation? We look at everything going on in the world right now, and for most of us, we've never seen anything like this in our lives. And it's this world catastrophe, and we should ask ourselves the question, how do I respond? Like, what do I do under this type of pressure? Do I go into withdrawal? You know, I can't go anywhere anyway, so I'll just turn on the TV and watch Netflix and watch movies. Or do I function in the opposite? Do I step up my game? Am I increasing my Yiddishkeit involvement, my Torah study, my tefillah? Am I saying more Tehillim? Am I finding alternative ways to engage and to draw closer to Hashem? You know, if we, the observant Jewish community, don't do this, then really what can we expect from everyone else? It's a famous Gemara in Baba Batra. And just a reminder, what Dina was saying, if you can look in the chat section, you have two attachments there. The first attachment are, I think, five psalms we're going to take a look at. It's six pages there. And then the second attachment are some mefarshim, which we'll get into shortly. But just thinking about the Gemara in Baba Batra, it tells us, and the Gemara is not there, I'm sorry, but it talks about a king coming to town in a month. And it's a farming town, and there are a lot of vineyards there. And there was just a discussion, like, what should we give to the king? Like, what would be something meaningful, a gift to give to the king? So they figure, we're a farming town. Well, let's put a big barrel in the town square, and every day each farmer should bring from his best wine and pour it into the barrel. And this way, when the king arrives, he's going to have this magnificent wine like no other. So everyone followed the rules, and each day people came forward with their cup and they poured into the barrel. And they did that for 30 days. And when the king finally arrived, it was a very dramatic experience, big honor to have the king in town. And the mayor is standing there and gives a grand speech and presents him with the barrel of wine. And the mayor takes out a beautiful goblet and he opens the spout and he gives the king a sample. And everybody's holding their breath, watching as the king takes his first sip. And sure enough, the king puts down the goblet and he scowls and he says, "It's just water." And what happened was each farmer figured, you know, I'll put water in the barrel. You know, who's going to notice? Everyone else is putting fine wine. What's going to be really the difference? And what happened, of course, is everyone thought the same way. And it turns out the entire barrel was filled with water. So I want to say the same thing. We can't rely on the next person's tefillot, on the next person's recitation of Tehillim. Now is a time, a critical time. It's an eight sarah in the world, and we have to each step up, and we have to do it now, and we each have to give our best wine and not water. I think if you're on this call, it's certainly a good sign, And of course, we have to have emunah. We're a community. We're together. Bezrat Hashem will get through this. And just a personal recommendation, something that was a life changer for me was, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, one of my congregants gave me a gift. He gave me a sidur that's side-by-side Hebrew-English. It has like 2-3 words Hebrew, 2-3 words English. The Mitsuda I know makes that. They're different, you know. So there are a number of them out there. And for me, it was a game changer in my davening, because now I really try to understand every single word that I'm saying. I sit there in shul and with a pen. And of course, not on Shabbat or Yom Tov, but during the week, I sit with a pen. If there's a word I don't understand in the Hebrew, I underline it. In the English, I underline it. So my eye catches it right away, and gradually I learn. You know, of course I know every word in the Az Yashir, even though there are hard words there, because I've been studying it again and again. I'm catching those words that I don't know. You do the same thing with the Sefer Tehillim. They make those as well. And really, if you're sincere and you really want to understand what you're saying, that's an excellent mechanism to use. Now, getting into Tehillim, so much of our tefillah is made up of selections from Sefer Tehillim. You think about Psukei Dezimra, Shir Shel Yom, the Kabbalat Shabbat, Hallel, all the holidays have different Tehillim that we say. So what I want to do with you today is to share some meaningful psalms to say, especially in difficult times, and I'll try to sprinkle them with beautiful insights from the Medrash and various commentaries. So we know David HaMelech wrote Sefer Tehillim. The Medrash tells us that there were 10 singers who contributed to Sefer Tehillim. And this is the first page you have in attachment number 2. Again, you open in the chat. The first attachment is the Psalms. And the second attachment, you'll find the Mefarshim. So that the first page is the Medrash. And the Medrash tells us as follows. It says it's page 10 on the top left corner. Rav Huna b'shem Rabbi Abba Amar Afal Pishin Amar Al Yedei Asaraz Kenim Lo Nitkan El Al Yedei David Melech Yisrael. Even though Sefer Tehillim was written by 10 people, there were 10 who contributed to Sefer Tehillim, but ultimately it was Nitkan. It was instituted by David Melech Yisrael. In other words, it was compiled. It was completed by David Melech Yisrael. Mashal lechaburashel zamarim. The Medrash, this is the Medrash Shocher Tov. So the Medrash says that, which is the Medrash on Tehillim. The Medrash says it's a mashal, a parable to a group of singers, picture a choir. Shaitam ebakeshet lomar shivcho shel melech. They wanted to give praise to the king, himnon lamelech, songs to the king. Amar lam amelech kulchem zakayim, kulchem zamarim, kulchem mishubachim. So the king said to them, you're all wonderful. You all have beautiful voices. Ruim lomar himnon. You're all worthy to sing my praise. Ela ish ploni yomar yadei kulchem. But the king says to the choir, I want one of you to represent all of you. Shekolo or arev yoter minakol. His voice is better than all. His voice is sweeter. It's more desirable to me than all of you. Even though I appreciate all of you. So therefore, let David, Melech Yisrael, says the mashal, let him be the one to sing my praise. So he's the one who put together Sefer Tehillim, and we believe he wrote most of Sefer Tehillim. Interesting that the Medrash on Tehillim is called Medrash Shochar Tov. Why Shochar Tov? So that's actually a pasuk in Sefer Mishlei. In Mishlei it says, Shochar Tov yivakesh ratzon v'doresh ra'ah tevo'enu. Which means, the Mefarshim here explain, like the Mitzudat David here says, HaDoresh achar tovot bnei adam v'chafetz bahem yivakesh b'zeh ratzon me'ashem ki ayidei zeh yirutzeh lo. That a person who seeks the good for people and wants, good for them, yivakesh b'zeh ratzon me'ashem, he will ask Hashem on their behalf. He will pray on their behalf. So that was David. David was the shocher tov. He was the good advocate, the seeking the good of Bnei Yisrael. So that's why we turn to him and we say Tehillim, because, he's our advocate, and he put together the most magnificent Tehillim. He wrote them with Ruach HaKodesh. David is such a source of inspiration for so many. He lived 3,000 years ago, literally anchoring Jewish history. He lived at the midpoint of Jewish history. And just such a successful king. He became king at the age of 30. He was Melech Yisrael for 40 years until his death. And he was successful, but also he suffered greatly. He was rejected by his family from the time of his birth throughout his youth. He had nowhere to turn. He was in the backfields, nowhere to turn but to Hashem. And his whole life were these massive highs and lows. And you think about his facing Goliath, Shaul chasing him down, trying to kill him. Avshalom, his son, rebels against him, also at war with him. You see on numerous occasions, running for his life, Achitophel, his chief advisor, trusted advisor, turns on him. You see Doeg, you see Shimi ben Gera, and all the surrounding enemies. And yet he's David Melech Yisrael. He is the exemplar of courage, of power. The people were crying out the greatness of David HaMelech that Shaul kills in the thousands, but David in the tens of thousands. He was the master. He was a poet. Extraordinary human being, the greatest Jewish king to ever live. In Psalm 22, with all of this, what does he say? And you have this, and again, if you open in the chat section, the first attachment there is the first psalm. So what does he write here in verse 7? This is taken from chapter 22, Kapitel Chaf Bet. So he says here, Vanochi tolat veloish, cherpat adam uvzui am. I put you for you the English. I am a worm, not a man, a reproach of man, despised by people. With all his achievements, he typified humility. And Psalm 22, just to introduce you to it, is really a beautiful psalm and one that we can really draw inspiration from. What does he write here in the first pasuk? We see he says, "Lam natzeach al ayelet hashachar mizmor leDavid." A psalm of the dawn, right? The first star, the morning star, mizmor David, a psalm of David. And the next pasuk, "Keli keli lama zavtani." Rachok mishuati divrei shagati. Right, Hashem, Hashem, my God, why have you forsaken me? You are far from my salvation, from the words of my calling, of my moaning. Right. So, what did the Mefarshim sound that? You have that in the in your sources here, in the second page, and in the second attachment. So take a look at some of the Mefarshim. You see the Radak. He says it's on the third page. Kaylee, left-hand column, like six lines down. He says, Hakafel. Why does it say twice? Kaylee, lama zabtani. Hakorim batsoakim, people who cry out, right? They'll double it up. Please. Va'amar eli, klomar shayita cheski bitzurim ikadem. Va'ata lama zabtani. You are always my help. You are always there for me, Hashem. Why now have you left me? Look at the mitzvah. That's on the page right before it. He says here, Pasuk Bet, middle section, bottom of the page, Kafel Amila Kederach Hakorim Betzoakim Kamo Anini Hashem Anini. Like Eliel Bahar Carmel, he says, Anini Hashem Anini. You know, somebody who cries out, they'll use a double term. So here as well, David is saying, Kaylee, the Malbim, again, on that page where the Radak was, on the very bottom of the page, he says, Lama Zavtani, why did you leave me? Three lines from the bottom of the page. It's not enough that you distance yourself so far from me that you're not close. Hashem, you distance yourself so much that you can't even hear me. Almost as if you don't want to know from my tzaras. So David is really, he's pouring his heart out here. The Medrash Shochar Tov tells us that what's amazing here is that David wrote this psalm, and we know King David lived before by Rishon. His son built the first temple. So David wrote this psalm, but he wrote it not for now. He wrote it for his descendants. He wrote it actually for 500 years later, for Esther Hamalka, that Esther was going to live after the destruction of the first temple. We know the first temple lasted 410 years. She lived during that 70-year period when they were in exile. The Babylonian exile, and there she was in Persia, and Esther, the Medrash tells us she is the Ayelet HaShachar. When it says here, lam natzeach al Ayelet HaShachar, a song Lamnatzeach also means netzach, eternal. Alayelet HaShachar, for the morning star, the Medrash tells us that in Ayala, we know the Hebrew word Ayala means a deer. And the Ayala is unique because all the animals, when they are thirsty, they run to the Ayala. They come to the deer seeking water. And what does the Ayala do? The deer takes her feet and starts digging into the ground for water. And then she takes her horn, the Medrash says, and digs even further until water starts rushing forward. And then all the animals are taken care of thanks to the deer. So she is the Ayelet HaShachar. That is Esther, as she was the morning light. She, everyone turned to her. It was all in her hands to save Klal Yisrael. Also, Ayelet HaShachar, you know, means dawn, right? The first star. So the Medrash talks about that this was Esther. There was a period of total darkness, you know, there in the Galut, and there with this decree from Haman. And sure enough, Esther comes out, and she is the break of dawn. She is the burst of light. You know, there's nothing light, like lighting a match in the darkness. That's what Esther accomplishes for Klal Yisrael. So Psalm 22 is truly an inspiring psalm. And you look at the psukim here. Look at the next pasuk. Elokai akra yomam velo taneh velaila lo dumi ali. In other words, Hashem, I call out to you in the day, right? And you don't answer me. Velaila lo dumi ali. And at night, I cry out and I have no relief. You know, and then we said the pasuk zayin, v'anochi tolat velo ish. Verse 7, I'm lowly like a worm. The Medrash is magnificent. The Medrash says, David calls himself a worm, which is like the lowest creature. But nevertheless, David was hinting and Esther is hinting that the worm has one great merit, has one great feature. With its mouth, the worm can go and bite into the cedars of Lebanon, these mighty trees, and take them down just by eating away at the trees. So David and Esther, they are hinting here, I am weak like a worm. I'm very weak. I need your help, Hashem, but I do have the power of the mouth. I have the power of tefillah, of prayer, and with this, I can defeat those who seek my harm. You see, also pasuk Yudbet in verse 12, David writes, "Al tirchak mimeni ki tzara krova ki ein ozer." Please, Hashem, don't distance yourself from me because danger is near, and I have no one helping. And the Medrash says this is talking about Esther, that Esther was walking towards the king, towards Ahasuerus, and she's in the palace, and she's going through the seven different chambers, and that she had passed three chambers, and there were three still in front of her, and there she was in that fourth, in that middle chamber, and she's crying. She says, I have nowhere to turn. In the previous three chambers, there are officers trying to harm me. Up ahead, the king's officers also seek my harm. Hashem, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I have nowhere to turn. Please, please, help me. Al tirchak mimeni. Don't distance yourself from me. And maybe we could say that these verses could inspire us in a difficult time. Esther and David are challenging Hashem. And they're saying, Hashem, answer me. You're not answering me. You're distancing yourself from me. With great respect, she speaks and David speaks, but she pleads and with genuine heartfelt prayer. And that's what's needed in difficult times in our lives, to talk to God and to ask Hashem, you know, to get us out of our situations of difficulty. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 20. Psalm 20, which should be the next one on the page here. If you go to page 3 in the first attachment, again in your chat, you'll see the two attachments there. So the first attachment has the psalms. Page 3 is Psalm number 20. And this is a psalm. I don't know if it's familiar to you. Hopefully it is. L'matzeach mizmor l'David yancha Adonai b'yom tzara yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov. You can say God's name if you say the full pasuk. So a psalm of David. May Hashem answer you on a day of tzara, of difficulty. Yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov. May support you, you know, God, the God of Jacob. So what's going on here? So the Medrash talks about this, and the Medrash tells us, again, the Medrash on Tehillim is called the Medrash Shochar Tov, and the Medrash there tells us that this psalm appears, Psalm number 20, That means there are 19 psalms in front of it. And the Medrash actually says that Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are actually seen as one, which means that this Psalm 20 is really following after 18 psalms, which hints to Shmoneh Esrei. And so to speak, we say this psalm after Shmoneh Esrei, right? We put this psalm after Shmoneh Esrei as if, just like we say Elokai Netzor after Shmoneh Esrei, after we complete our davening to Hashem. So then we put in our personal prayer. And here, our rabbis instituted that we should have this psalm, right? We say it every day, every weekday, between Ashrei Nuva Letzion, Yan Hashem Biyom Tzara, may Hashem answer you on a difficult day. So also, it's like a personal prayer request after the 18, after the Shmoneh Esrei. And interestingly, now we have 19 brachot, so you don't even have to say that Psalms 1 and 2 are combined. You have the 19, you have Psalm 20 with the personal request after the 19 Tehillim, paralleling the Yancha Hashem Biyom Tzara, this psalm after the 19 brachot of the Shmoneh Esrei. So what do we say here? Yancha Hashem Biyom Tzara. What is the Yom Tzara? All right. So that's the big question in the Medrash, that David says Hashem should answer you Biyom Tzara. It's a Gev Hashem Elokei Yaakov, to support you, the God of Jacob. And we continue. The psalm says, Yishlach Ezrachah Mikodesh, may Hashem send you help from Kodesh, and Mitzion Yisadeka, and from Tzion, he should give you support. So what's going on here? Yitem lecha chil vavecha v'chol atzatcha yimaleh, may Hashem give you, your requests and fulfill all your desires, all your advice. So the Medrash actually tells us here, very interesting, that the Yom Tzara gives several opinions. One opinion is that the Yom Tzara, and you have this in your source sheets, again, if you open in the chat, and the second attachment is the very last section there, are four pages from the Medrash, Shochar Tov. It says on top, Medrash Tehillim, and you have here what the Medrash has to say on Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara. So the Medrash here talks about a mother and a child and her daughter, and they actually get into a fight, and the mother dies, and the mother hears later, from Shemayim, from heaven, she hears that the daughter is giving birth, and she hears the daughter's crying, and she like calls out to her, and she prays for her, and the people in heaven are saying, why do you bother? So she says, because it's my daughter. My daughter's crying. I should not feel for her. So David is saying, the Medrash is saying the same thing, that Hashem hears Am Yisrael crying in the Galut, in their suffering. How can Hashem not answer us? So Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara actually is a beautiful psalm. There's actually 9 verses in this psalm, which allude to the 9 months that a woman is pregnant. So the Medrash is teaching, may the one who answers the pregnant woman in her time of difficulty, the woman giving birth, in her time of challenge, may the one who answers her answer you as well, answer Am Yisrael in your time of challenge. Here we are in Ikvata de Mashiacha, in the days leading up to the coming of the Mashiach, the 9 months have passed, so that hopefully the birth of the Mashiach is coming, and we cry out to Hashem, he should help us as he helps a woman giving birth. Interesting, also, it says in that pasuk, Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov, that the God of Jacob should help you. Why Yaakov? So there's a beautiful radak here, and the radak teaches us that Yaakov, why specifically Yaakov? So he says here that Elokei Yaakov was Fishera Atzmo B'Tzorot Yotir Me'Avram V'Yitzchak, that he saw in his difficulty more than Avram and Yitzchak. In other words, David saw that Yaakov had it the hardest, right? When we think about Yaakov's life, he really had so much difficulty in his life with Yosef, with Esav, with his daughter, just one after the next, with the brothers. So Yaakov suffered greatly, as he told Paro in the end of his life. So it's referencing specifically Yaakov, but David chose Yaakov. Also, the Radak gives another explanation that Yaakov is our father alone, as opposed to Yitzchak that we share with, and Avraham, the Avraham we share with Ishmael, and Yitzchak we share with Esav. Yaakov is ours alone. So the Yom Tzara, you know, is another insight here. The Medrash tells us here, and you have it on the pages. It's Yom Shakol Modimbo Shu Tzara BeElyonim BeLatachtonim, that it's hinting towards the coming of the Mashiach, the time before the arrival of the Mashiach, that it's going to be a very difficult period. And the Medrash says that Hashem will personally come to the defense of Am Yisrael, either in the merit of the Tzadikim, or in the merit of the Brit Milah, or in the merit of Yosef, who fought his Yetzer Hara, but Hashem will be there and will defend on our behalf. So for this, we have tremendous gratitude. We see also a beautiful mashal here, and it's on the last page of attachment number 2. The Medrash says here, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, that may Hashem answer you on a day of difficulty. It's a likened to a father and a son, they're walking on the path. So the son is getting tired, and he says to his father, when are we going to get to the city? I want you to hold on to this sign. If you see a cemetery nearby, then you should know that the city is close. So the father and son are traveling from one city to another. The son's getting tired. He's saying, when are we going to get there finally? The father says, when you see the cemetery, you know that we're close to the city. And the Medrash is telling us that Hashem says the same thing to us. If you see that you're covered in tzaras, if you see that the time is difficult, then you should know the geula is near. You see the cemetery, then the redemption is near. The city is near. And I would like to suggest that here we are in Jewish history. We're walking from one city, right? We left Yerushalayim 2,000 years ago. And you know, we say to Hashem, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get to the city? You know, we've been walking for so long. We're so worn down, and when are we going to arrive? And the Father, Hashem tells us, when you see the cemetery, you'll know that you're near the city. And maybe I would like to suggest that we saw the cemetery. We saw it 75 years ago, and it was horrific. We saw the Holocaust. Our people saw the Holocaust, and we passed the cemetery. And we say to Hashem, we cry to Hashem, please, you know, we've passed it. You said it's going to be when we pass the cemetery. Where's the city? Where's the Mashiach? Let it finally happen, our return to Yerushalayim. And it's so awesome that we read this psalm right before, right? We said that we say it after the Shemoneh Esrei, but what immediately follows, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, may Hashem answer you on a difficult day, the very next paragraph that we say in our davening is Uva L'tzion Goel, that Tzion arrives, the Goel, right? The Mashiach. So in other words, the Yom Tzara, and which is followed immediately by Uva L'tzion Goel. Another great psalm is Psalm number 6, which we say in the Tachanun, Al Be'apecha Tochicheni V'Abachamatcha Tiyatzureni. So you have that also in the first attachment. Many Mefarshim explain that David is at the time when he's inflicted with tzaraat and he's facing severe punishment for the sin with Bathsheba, and he spent 6 months exiled from Jerusalem, and he's healing from his illness, and he's spending 13 years, or some say 22 years, repenting for that sin, and he's pleading with Hashem to take away, Af v'chima, these two wicked enforcers that seek his harm. So Psalm 6 is certainly another great psalm to reflect on and to be saying during a difficult time. The Medrash likens David to a person waiting in his home for the doctor to come, and he's waiting there for 4 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours, and he's so antsy. When is the doctor going to finally come and make the house call? And when the doctor finally arrives at the very end of the day, in the last hour, he says, you know, doctor, you waited so long. Had you waited much longer, I would have died. And again, it speaks to you know, the end of our galut, that Am Yisrael is crying out to Hashem and we're waiting, Hashem, how much longer? We're almost depleted. Please, Hashem, send the Mashiach. Please, the time should arrive. So what's nice about this psalm also is it ends with a sense of hopeful confidence and faith. He's going to be answered. Shema Hashem Trinati, Hashem Tfilati Yikach. It's in verse Yud, Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Also verse 11, Yevoshu Raga, my enemies will be ashamed. My grandfather wrote a parish on Sefer Tehillim. My grandfather was the chief rabbi of Netanya. He wrote 22 Sfarim, and his Sefer on Tehillim is what inspired me to study Tehillim. And he writes here, Yevoshu Raga, that, you know, my enemies will be ashamed and embarrassed. So according to his interpretation, it comes from the word Ragua. I will be calmed once I see that my enemies have submitted to me, once they're shocked. They'd expected me to die, to be punished, and that you've enabled me to, you know, survive and to prevail, that will make me ragua. David, you know, also wrote in good times, and I just think it would be nice to share some of the, you know, we're about to say Hallel, please God, in a couple of weeks on Leil Pesach. So just some quick insights that might make your Hallel a little more meaningful. The first chapter of Hallel is Psalm 113. You have that again on your first attachment. If you go into the chat section, the first attachment, page 5 there, is Psalm 113. David writes, Mizrach Shemesh Amibo'o Mu'lal Shem Hashem, right? Hopefully we all know that verse. That from the sunrise to the sunset, Hashem's name is praised. So the simple understanding is from sunrise to sunset, I praise the name of Hashem. The Al-Sheikh says, I stare at the sky and I watch the sun move across the horizon and I, you know, I stare at your creations and I have to praise you for the beautiful world that you've created. But there's a deeper understanding to this pasuk. What does it mean? Mizrach Shemesh Ab Mevo'o Mu'lal Shem Hashem. From sunrise to sunset, I praise Hashem. It could mean that there are sunrise moments in my life and there are sunset moments in my life. So I praise Hashem in good times, I praise Hashem in bad times. Or another understanding, I pray there's sunrise moments, there's my youth. And sunset moments, you know, people in their waning years, right? That I praise Hashem throughout. Or what does it mean, Halleluka? Right, we say Halleluka is the, here in the Hallel, we say Halleluka. So what does it mean, Halleluka? So Halleluka means praise is God. And the Gemara tells us, that's Gemara Pesachim says that's the Meule Basamara Maramara Chilshevach Neamar Sefer Tehillim, that there are 10 terms of praise. Gadomi Kulam Haluka Shekolel Shem Shevach Shem Veshevach Bevata Echad. In other words, that it has in its name Haluka, it has praising Hashem and Hashem's name. So you could ask the question, okay, it has Hashem's name and praising that name, so then why not praise the full name? Why not say Hallelujah Ado Shem? Why are we just saying Haluka? That's only half of Hashem's name. Hashem's name is Yud K Vav K. Where's the Vav K? So it's not very beautiful that that from the Yalkut Shimoni says, the Medrash says over there, we can only praise the aspect of Hashem that we can relate to. Right? We don't understand the full Hashem. Hashem is, there's two sides to Hashem. There's the Yud K and there's the Vav K. We can praise the Yud K. That's the side that Hashem deals with us, interacts with us, that we can try to possibly relate to. But there's a whole other concept within Hashem that's the Vav K that is way beyond our comprehension. And so we say Haluka in terms of how we relate to Hashem and Hashem relates to Hashem. So Hashem relates to us. Also interesting, it says, Ram al kogoyim Hashem al hashemayim kvodo, that Hashem is above all, right? Al hashemayim kvodo, Hashem is on shemayim, right? And hamashpili lirop hashemayim uvaretz, and Hashem lowers himself to see what's going on in shemayim uvaretz. This was such a wake up for me when I learned this, that you know, we look up to shemayim and we talk to Hashem, but we should recognize Hashem's not in shemayim, Hashem's not in heaven. Of course, Hashem's everywhere. Hashem, what we're seeing, what David HaMelech is saying here in the pasuk, is Ram al kogoyim Hashem Allah Shemayim Kavodo. Hashem is above Shemayim. Hamashpilu L'Europa Shemayim Avarets. Hashem lowers himself to look at what's going on in the Shemayim and even lower into the Aretz. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. So, and even so, with it all, Hashem is still Mekim Mi'afar Dal. Hashem lowers himself, but also he lifts up from the earth. He lifts, you know, the poor, wretched human being, just helping him up. Hashem lowers himself and lifts us up at the same time. I'll just end with one last idea. One of the most famous chapters in Tehillim, especially now that many of us are saying every single day, Shir HaMalot Mimamakim, Kratich Hashem Hashem, I cry out to you, right? Mimamakim, from the bottom of my heart, right? So what does that mean? From the Amek, right? From the valleys, I cry out to you, Hashem. So what does it mean, I cry out from the depths? And also, it's Shir HaMalot. It's a psalm of ascents. So is it a psalm of above, ascents? Or is it Mimamakim, from beneath, from below? I once saw a beautiful article from Rabbi Benny Friedman, where he pointed out there are two types of experiences in this world. The experience of the mountain and the experience of the valley. He says that when you're high on the valley, when you're high on a mountain, it's easy to see, right? The view is breathtaking, everything's clear, but in the valley, your view is blocked. The mountains around you, they block your view. Mountaintops are beautiful, but they block your view. They're also difficult to reach, and you can't walk on mountaintops. You can't go from one peak to another, but valleys you can walk in forever. So Rabbi Friedman wrote that sometimes we're privileged to enjoy life's mountains, the birth of a child, amazing experience, right? You have more clarity. That's a hilltop moment in your life, a day a person gets married, or you marry off a child or a grandchild, or you have success in your career, or you do well on an exam, you know? And there are also valleys, right? There are life's low points where we feel lost and we're confused and we wonder if we're ever going to climb out. And the important thing is to remember that life, that nothing grows on the mountaintop, right? Last year I was in the Colorado Rockies, and it's amazing. You see all these 14ers, these 14,000 feet mountains. And what's amazing, you see trees going all the way up, but towards the top, there's no oxygen. So there's no life up there. There's no growth up there. It's bare. So no more trees. So life grows in the mountain, and that's the point. That's the place where we can achieve our greatest potential. Rav Moshe Ben Abu, chief rabbi of Gilo, wrote a commentary on Tehillim. He says that David HaMelech wrote this psalm for the Jews of the Galut, that they would spend thousands of years in the valley, yet they have faith in God, and they continue to long for their redemption. And that's what David HaMelech is writing here. Nafshi LaHashem mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. That just like the guards on the night shift, they can't wait for the new guards to come take over their post, you know, and they keep looking. Nafshi LaHashem mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. They keep checking. Where are our subs? When are they coming? When's the next shift going to arrive? When are we going to be relieved? So too, Am Yisrael and the Galut. We're just eagerly awaiting for the Geulah to happen for our salvation. And David HaMelech is teaching us, Mimamakim Kratich Hashem, we grow in the valley, not on the mountaintops. That's where we grow. That's where we strive. I'll just end with this. And I've been thinking a lot about this point, you know, especially this whole isolation thing that's going on now. With all its hardship, there's a benefit, right? Of course, there's the reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? When have we ever seen Makot before? Now we're seeing it in our lifetimes. We're benefiting. We're spending time, quality time with our families. When I say benefiting in that first point, I mean that we can start to understand what it means, Yirat Shamayim, to have fear of God. And also the benefit to spend quality time with families, with our families. But historically, this could also remind us of the whole experience that's about to come up now on this holiday. When we go into our home and we're just with our family and we close the door and you put blood on the doorpost and you can only eat the Korban Pesach Limniyav with those people who are part of your appointed group pre-assigned and waiting for the Magefa to pass, waiting for the plague to pass, right? It was the 10th plague in Mitzrayim. So what we're experiencing is so much a reminder of of the Pesach story. And for me, it's just so blaring that this is all taking place right on Erev Pesach. And, you know, just to say, you know, to Hashem that, you know, we pray for the Mashiach. We say to Hashem, we passed the cemetery. It's behind us. We went through it, Hashem. Please, we've walked so far. Please, may we finally arrive to that city that you promised us. We'll get there. V'nisan nigalu, v'nisan atidin li'gael. In Nisan, our rabbis tell us we were redeemed. And please, God, in Nisan, we'll be redeemed once again. Thank you so much. I'm open to any questions.
Rabbi Shlush, thank you. If anybody has any questions, you are welcome to type them either into the chat function or into the Q&A function, or you can raise your hand and we can unmute your microphone. And if nobody has any questions, Rabbi Shlush, maybe we can, oh, Nina Butler has a question above. Do you see it in the chat or should
I? Yeah, I'm just reading it right now. So let me read it out loud. For David to represent all and pray on their behalf as an advocate is just the opposite of your story about the wine and the barrel, right? For Hashem to ask the choir to step aside and let David speak alone is in opposition to the other concept of our tefillah needed. I love the story of the wine and the barrel, by the way. So, I mean, to me, it's saying that David is our representative. He composed this for us. I view Tehillim as a diary. David wrote a diary. He sat down and he wrote a diary of his life, the good times and the bad times. And he gave us holy words, words that were written, the Ruach HaKodesh. So it's not for David to say it 3,000 years ago and now we go silent for the next 3,000 years. David wrote it for his children. He wrote it for Esther. He wrote it for us. We're going through the coronavirus right now. He wrote it for us. He's giving us words, holy words, written Baruch HaKodesh, that we should be saying at this time. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but to me, you know, yes, he's the advocate, but we all need to step forward. We all need to give our best wine. He just gave us something to hold on to, something of Kedushah. It's like our rabbis tell us to say the tefillah, right? We daven every day. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdola instituted our tefillot, right? But it doesn't mean you just say your tefillah and you're done. Right there, you should institute your personal prayer. There's a beautiful article from Rav Herschel Schachter in Mitoch HaOhel where he talks about how we have to personalize our tefillah. That even when we are saying the standardized text of the Shemoneh Esrei that is imbued with kedusha and holiness and has mystical power that we don't appreciate, or that we don't understand. So we have to, and we should say those words. But even so, our kavanot, writes Rav Schachter, should be different every time when we daven, right? For when you say atachon en ladam dat, it should be different from my atachon en ladam dat, even as we say the same words, right? And because you're dealing with certain things, I'm dealing with certain things. Refeinu, you deal with, we deal with. Baruch aleinu, you know, shema koleinu, you know, everyone should have different kavanot. It reminds me of the gifts of the Nisim that they brought. In Sefer Bamidbar, right? That every tribe in Parshat Naso, they would bring gifts. Everyone brought the exact same. Each Nasi brought the same gift, but I think there's a Ramban there that says that they each brought with different kavanot in mind. So I think both can be achieved at the same time. Any other questions? Let's see here. You know, yeah. So, yeah. So David is, you know, Hashem is not, you know, Hashem's not silencing the choir. Hashem is complimenting the choir. He's saying you all have beautiful voices, but I'm going to let one of you represent all of you, right? So, so that's a nice idea. You look at any choir. There's, you know, often there's a lead singer, right? Somebody steps forward to lead the lead piece, even as you have in the background, you know, you have a, you know, beautiful voices behind that are all meriting to be there as well. Okay.
Thank you. If there are any other questions, Rabbi Shlush, maybe we can make your email address available to our attendees following this webinar.
Absolutely. My email is gshlush@yu.edu.
Thank you so very much. And thank you to everybody for joining us. Please continue to join us for further webinars as the week goes on. Rabbi Schlosh, thank you. And we hope that everybody stays healthy and stays safe.
Amen. All the best.